Welcome to episode 40 of Digital Outbox. Hello, I'm Chris, and I am joined today by Ian.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. And that's about it, isn't it? There's no one else here today.
Nobody here but us chickens.
Well, yes. And are you with me or are you playing Words with Friends?
Yes, I'm playing Words with Friends, but unlike Tam, who's quite blatantly using an online dictionary to do all his words, and he'll be sitting there chuckling away into his face, probably on the train listening to this.
You multitasking
dirty,
away.
Cheating scum.
I have to say, I have been introduced to the delights of playing Tam on Words with Friends this week, and you know something's up when I'm not a wordy person, but when I've got 60 points and he's got 360, there's definitely something dodgy going on.
But my games are like that with you as well.
Now, I think you'll find we're quite even. I'm sure. Not that I'm counting.
No, I mean, I don't mind playing people who know words. But when you find words like jotter, and that is not the Scottish jotter, but it's J-O-T-A.
Yes.
What the heck?
Yes. Who knew that Scrabble was going to be the game of 2010, eh?
Who knew indeed? The best bit about it all is, of course, that Shaky has been outed as a dirty cheat as well.
Has he?
Oh.
So he was saying bits and bobs about me last week.
He's been playing Tam and... the word that he put up for Tam had like two U's consecutively in it. It was one of those like there's no way you could have known that.
If you can't beat him, join him, is what I say. And if you can't beat anyone, then at least there's Daily Mail that we can still beat around the chops.
Nazis.
Do you want to enhance that?
No, they're just if you read the Daily Mail, you're a Nazi. Next story. No, basically Daily Mail yet again has put up a really crappy headline. Now this is a headline, this isn't me saying this. So the headline was, "I pose as a girl of 14 in Facebook, what followed will sicken you." And I think it was an ex-detective that had done this story for the Daily Mail, and it was all he had said was he had joined up to a social network, posed as a 14-year-old girl and got a whole load of sickening, you know, people try to follow him and make suggestive advances and all that kind of stuff. No big surprise. The big surprise in this one is, but the Daily Mail decided to use Facebook in the actual headline and the URL title.
Right.
And the thing about Facebook is if you actually log on to Facebook for the first time, it's not actually as easy as something like Twitter to talk to people.
It's completely not. I mean, you have to accept people as friends and
exactly. So quite rightly, Facebook were slightly peeved, and got the legal team involved and threatened them with all.
So had Daily Mail pretty much just lied about the stole story then?
Oh yeah, the detectives seemed to advise them not to use Facebook in the title, and they still went ahead and did it.
So the detective advised them not to use Facebook, presumably because they weren't using Facebook to do this.
No, he's never said once that he used Facebook.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But that's if you want to pay your good money and buy the Daily Mail, that's what you're going to get. So the Daily Mail apologised the next day, in print and online. And they changed their headline, but they didn't change the URL title, which is the title used by all the search engines.
Yes.
So Facebook are similarly still considering action, and I can't see them doing anything. I'd love them to go to court and win. But no doubt it would just be it would be some sort of shady victory somehow for the Daily Mail and the usual scaremongering.
Is it only a threat of being sued at the moment, is it?
Yes. They're still considering action, even though Daily Mail has apologised and said, oh, we're so sorry. But all you have to do is, if you look up Daily Mail on Facebook, they've got a story from 2009, February. Using Facebook, raise risk of cancer. And that's the title headline. How using Facebook raises risk of cancer. I mean, you read it, it's just about using social networks. But again, they've tagged Facebook on.
I guess because in their world, it's the evildoers.
No, they've basically not changed since the 1930s when they supported the Nazis. Read that paper, you're a Nazi lover.
Ian's opinions are not necessarily the opinions of Digital Outbox.
No. And just before we move on, the word in question that Shaq managed to come up with is Dumvir. D-W-M-V-I-R.
Anyone any ideas what that means?
I don't even want to look that up in case it's like wrong. I was Dumvirring last night. Arr.
So from one brilliant app, let's go to another one that seems to have been announced by another. Well, here we go on our Google section. So I should put a warning in here, shouldn't I?
This is, I really need to sort out some music, don't I? I need to get some like Google music. Maybe when Quantum comes out as an OS, we'll get some startup music, and then any Microsoft stories, I can play the really daft startup tunes, and Mac can get the chime, and Google can get their...
whatever it turns out to be.
Yeah.
Droid.
Oh, no, I wish I hadn't mentioned that. Droid.
Except for that's not even Google, is it?
No.
Never mind.
That's Motorola, but never mind.
So what's this app store they've announced then?
They've launched an apps marketplace. So it's an app store for enterprise apps. So if you go on to a Google hosted account, like we have for Digital Outbox, mm-hmm. you can now fire up the marketplace, search through, there looks to be hundreds of apps already there.
Really? I was going to say, what, tens of tens?
No, there looks to be loads. And then install those apps. Into your, so if you go into our Google account right now, I've installed a project management tool. Not that we're ever going to project manage anything. I've installed TripIt. Not that we're ever going to do any trips anywhere. And well, you are coming to Glasgow, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
So Google Apps, obviously their enterprise version of the calendar and their mail client and stuff, and you get a list, don't you? Once you log into the Google Apps interface, you get the list of these of things that are available, and so you can now add to that list. That's what we're saying. Yep.
So if you go in there just now, you can see there's more services, and you can go and find more services in the marketplace and install them.
Well, I didn't see this one coming. That's another one out of the blue, isn't it?
Yes. If you want to actually start to use the marketplace, it's a one-time fee of $100. And that's not per app, so that's per, I guess, developer or company. And instead of the usual 30% market share or revenue share that we've seen from Apple, and we're also now seeing from Microsoft, it's 20%. So, and some of the stats, Google have dropped these out. So 25 million users and 2 million businesses are now using Google Apps. So a very, very interesting development. 50 launch partners, and the one that surprised me was Zoho as well. So Zoho, who I felt were competing with Office Online and with the Google Apps, they've actually put a lot of their products and made them available through the marketplace as well.
It's an interesting proposition to have that kind of, it's a more focused market, isn't it? It is less people orientated as far as just general consumers.
Definitely.
So it's an interesting market.
It's that small business again. It's that small, if you're only 5-10 people, and you get your domain sorted and set up your Google App account, and then straight away you're going to have some project management tools, some collaboration tools, some sharing of calendars, and enhancing what Google's already brought you. And
it's all there. Doesn't seem to me that it's going to be the kind of runaway success for a phone app store, which is meant to direct to things. But I imagine the cost of these things can be higher. So as a developer, you can charge more just because of the customer base you're working for.
And looking at some of the prices, that's certainly there. I mean, some of the project management ones that seem to be highly rated, we're talking about maybe $10, $15 a month.
Okay.
But if you're...
So a monthly subscription model rather than a purchase.
Yeah. I just think it's another step to this cloud OS.
Yep. And again, it's just showing more and more that can be done in the cloud. And I assume, being Google again, they've got APIs and all that kind of ready to go with it.
Probably. I have no idea, but usually with these things they do now, don't they?
Yep. I don't suppose we know anything about, whether they vet what goes in the stores or any of those kind of details.
I didn't dig into it enough.
To be honest, I doubt it based on their Android practice. But.
Well, I don't know if they'd be wanting it more, because you do have to give permission, and it's different levels of permission to allow the app to start to access your data.
Mm-hmm.
So you are actually having to say, well, do you want to access everybody in here or just certain people? Do you want access to calendars? Do you want access to documents? So you can turn things off and on as you, if you feel concerned about it. And there's also a review system on there. So as soon as I logged in, you could see there was people, you know, 50, 60 reviews for some of the apps already, just, you know, saying this is good, this is bad. And so it's an interesting concept.
Okay, and another Google story that they have added bike directions onto their maps, which there's been mixed reports. It's only America right now, I believe, but covering 150 cities. So included the bike routes into the road network that we've already got. And there's been mixed. it's been received in the mixed way in that it's sending, but, you know, a bit like SatNav still sends people down ridiculous routes now.
Mm.
It does appear that it's doing the same with your bike routes. But, you know, apparently this came about because of people requesting the feature to be added, and they've done it.
Very good.
Right, we've seen Google this week have also CNET UK are reporting they're 99% sure that they're going to be pulling out of China. So late last week, China issued they've been talking with Google, but they issued another warning saying, Google, if you don't fall in line, you'll face the consequences. And it's almost preemptively, I think Google have just put their foot down and said, right, we'll just shut down google.cn.
Yeah, but I've kind of lost interest in this in some ways, because a couple of articles I was reading last week said Google were still censoring results. You know, so right. Even though they dished out all this big, you know, we're going to stop doing this, it seems they still are. So it's like,
I don't think they ever said we're going to just stop it on the nose.
I don't know. I'm just a bit tired by the whole thing.
I mean, but as is being reported now, they're fairly certain that they are just going to pull out of China. I think, again, to keep you just that little bit more interested, they probably are leaving some operations there. Their main search business, they're moving away.
And one other little Google tidbit that we maybe missed under Google Maps, seemingly, and I still find it an incredibly high statistic, 95% of Britain is now available in Street View.
I've been doing some searching, as you do, because I wasn't on it before. I am now on the Street View. Not me personally, but my house and my car, which was looking particularly clean. So it's really good.
Fantastic.
It's all nice and shiny. But it must have been done about a year ago, because the sun's out and the daffodils are out. And they've only just started coming out again. So it must have been about a year ago that that the car came round.
There you go.
But yes, so I've been around, not a lot of the UK, but, you know, random places. And
what about 80%?
No, nowhere near. Probably about 0.01%.
You're telling me you're busy with work and secretly you've just been compiling a
I've been around several locations around here to see where I've been having to drop people off at stations and stuff like that, and every area I've been now is covered, rather than whereas before it was only a couple of the cities, wasn't it?
I mean Glasgow was fairly extensively done before, but there were still quite a few areas around Glasgow where the main streets side streets hadn't been done, and it's all there. And it's
very much a side street now, and it's definitely here.
So. You're very much a side street. I'd never say that about you.
So I think it's worth, if you're interested to check anyway, go and have a look at your address, because my neighbours haven't had their number plate blurred, whereas mine is. So it's worth checking.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, if they obviously still haven't quite got that sorted, so definitely worth having a quick check to see whether your number plate's been blurred or not. Or if you're not that bothered, then don't bother.
Great advice from Digital Airbox.
Fantastic. Now then, we've had ICANN this week have come back and said they are reopening the file on the .xxx domain name. So a domain name specifically to put porn on.
Talked about for
years.
Decades. Yeah.
I think it was had a, they had a really good look at it about 5 years ago, I think it was, something like that, maybe even longer, to be honest. And so the idea being, it's a voluntary scheme, it's not a compulsory or anything, but if you're offering pornographic services online, then you do it on the .xxx domain, silos off all that content. If you don't want to look at it, then you know not to type in those domain names. But America 5 years ago were completely against the idea, basically. Conservative Americans outraged. So and they weren't bothered about the fact that, you know, that we were siloing off pornography into one area, they just didn't want it full stop. But, you know, completely, again, not getting the point that
exactly
it's going to be there anyway. And by siloing it off, then it's a much better situation because people can vet it a lot easier.
But does this mean that I couldn't open up a .com with porn?
No, it doesn't mean that at all. No, so you can... it's a voluntary scheme. But it does, you know, it's not, again, it's not going to stop people getting access to certain porn, but having the, you know, you would say that most responsible providers would probably move across. We don't know whether, we still don't know that it's going to happen. It just looks like it's more likely. I think ICANN, because of they're now more internationally based rather than just American.
Yeah,
they should be less swayed by the American outrage.
It does seem to make sense.
I've not come across anyone saying it's not a good idea. I don't know why it would be.
And I guess the people that are really pushing for it are all the domain, you know, registers.
Sure, because it'll be expensive.
Exactly. Cool.
Okay, you've got some breaking. Oh, I'm moving away from Google and porn.
You almost said breaking.
Breaking away to breaking news.
We have gone from real life porn to gadget porn.
Oh, yes.
So this is Mix 10. So this is where Microsoft are going to be doing their, basically last month with their Windows Phone 7 series.
Winfo 7.
I can't call it Windows 7 because it's not.
Winfo 7.
No.
Fo 7?
No, because it's like it just Sevenfold? Sounds like Susan Boyle or something like that. Subo with the Winfo. It's just not right. So they previewed it last month, did their big launch, but said more will be coming at Mix, and certainly it's happening right now, and already I don't know, I'm very excited by this. I just think it looks really, really nice.
I haven't actually seen these latest bits and bobs, but I'm definitely going to go and have a look at them later.
So a whole load of partners, no big surprise. EA Mobile, Namco, some of the big gaming ones, but also things like Associated Press, Pandora, Seismic, Shazam. So some of the very, you know, some of the really big names from the, I guess, the iPhone side of things as well are all signed up as launch partners. The apps look very, very impressive. They seem to have almost like an iPhone-esque type way of running, in that you'll launch and then quit and then launch another.
Well, they'll probably get sued for that then.
Easy tiger. Seismic, which what's quite interesting about them is they've taken the same Silverlight code that runs on Windows and the Mac, and they're using it on the phone. So they've also been launching some developer news today. So it's Silverlight and XNA at its core. And there's going to be a free package of developer tools, which gives you Visual Studio 2010 Express for the phone and Silverlight Focus Expression Blend for Windows Phone. They really should come up with catchier names for their software, but
they are rubbish at it, aren't they?
You know, Visual Studio 2010 Express for Windows Phone is the actual name of the application.
That's going to need a mighty focused, big book.
Silverlight Focused Expression Blend for Windows Phone.
Gosh.
But yeah, they're going to come out. I guess they've not committed to dates. They're seeing an anticipated launch towards the latter part of the year. So it looks like it's almost going to be, you know, some exclusive launch partners and probably a fairly small app store. But then I guess it's a free-for-all after that.
It kind of makes sense to launch with a trusted set of applications, get everyone on board with that, and then let the developers take it from there.
Yep. And again, going down the kind of same line as Apple, developers are going to be treated to a host of must-have services like accelerometer support and location-based APIs. They're going to have notifications on it for push notifications. So again, see you in court.
Yeah.
hardware accelerated video, multi-touch, camera microphone access, etc. All looking very nice, and there was I've just watched a quick game demo that they've just done as well, and looks a really, really nice environment. You know, graphically really rich. Showed you the Xbox Live built in. You know, getting unlocking achievement points, etc. So,
and obviously, we heard last week that they were, you know, they're going to create a platform which can be cross, you know, across your PC, your Xbox, and phone. So there's obviously all that to be looked at as well.
Yep. And the marketplace, and again, I don't know if this is just marketing playing with buzzwords, but it's evolved from an app store to a content destination. So it's going to have apps, casual and premium Xbox Live games, music, and customized carrier stuff.
Anyway, surely that's the Windows Phone 7 series destination of choice for applications.
Well,
to give it its full title.
Yeah, I just look forward to it. Hopefully they've got some nice icons for all this stuff.
Some quick, easy to look at icons.
I should have got some, all that text on the screen. But certainly this is looking like the... one other tidbit that came out of the game demo was that this wasn't a repackaged like Zune HD. This was built for Windows Phone 7 series. And it almost looks like the Zune HD is just getting bypassed. You know, it's almost like a yesteryear product, and it's this is where they are now. Is the this
I
new
think
phone
people
platform.
Were commenting at the time that the Zune was a great product, but if it had a phone in it, it would have hit the market, you know, better.
Yeah.
And I think they probably have almost written that off as a, you know, a loss leader.
I think that's been
it's late to market, and it's not going to be where they're focusing their attention, which is a shame because it was a good product.
Definitely.
I tell you, with all the Apple, you know, shenanigans, what they're doing at the moment, it's making more and more sense for me to be looking at a different phone, and maybe this is the Windows Phone 7 is going to be my choice.
Oh, I mean, certainly the gaming side of me thinks, you know, that's a very, very strong platform though.
I don't like being vetted on my behalf.
No.
And even though I don't disagree with everything they're doing on the iPhone, I just think I would rather have the choice myself, and I'd rather it wasn't under supervision from Apple.
No, definitely. I think it's the same for Android as well. You know, it's just a much freer platform.
Yeah. So, I mean, from my point of view, I think there's part of me they're just looking for a change anyway, to be honest. And okay, who knows? I might be swayed if we hear about the iPhone. The new iPhone that was sure to be announced soon.
But as I said, I think it's going to be evolution. You know, it's going to be small changes. I just can't see. I mean, there was rumours, and we dropped the story, but may as well just throw it in. There's rumours about multitasking coming, and it's like, well, wow, about time.
Yeah. But then again, we're not seeing multitasking anywhere else properly. I mean, I know Android does it a little bit. But Windows Mobile Phone 7 series, we've got to find a shortcut. I don't think that does multitasking.
Wi-Fi 7.
We'll come up with something.
Yes.
Okay, so this week we've also had it announced that we're going to get ITV1 HD finally on Virgin and Sky and Freesat.
Yes. Well, if you had the new EPG on Sky HD, you could watch it anyway.
It is a pain in the backside though, getting to
absolutely.
It. Have you ever used it really?
Yeah.
I haven't. Have you? I've occasionally, because you can't get through it to the standard channel way, can you? You have to go into additional channels. And
there's
that.
Two reasons. One, I'm in Scotland. Now, the fact I'm in Scotland shouldn't be an issue. However, STV, which is the broadcaster up here, on Channel 3 and ITV are having a bit of a war just now.
Right.
And unless you're in Scotland, you probably think, war? Don't be foolish, man. But honestly, it's an absolute disgrace. The amount of TV that we don't get to see, the amount of, you know, stuff that you're watching just every night and you're thinking the whole of Britain's getting this and we're getting some tat. So, even like stuff like The Bill, and I'm not a Bill watcher, but it's like a lot of people watch it. You know, it's one of the kind of premier ITV things. It's not on up here.
So having it available on your Sky would be... I guess it's going to be available for you on Sky, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
They're not subject to the same...
No,
boundaries.
Because it's a separate channel.
Yeah.
And it was... I mean, the stuff's on Sky anyway, because I can go and watch, you know, ITV from London or whatever, so you know, there's a lot of guidance, you know, around a lot of people here saying, you know, if you do want to watch ITV proper and not STV's blooming tartan shortbread channel that they're doing on the cheap, then, you know, switch to that channel. It's all in time for the World Cup, which is all good.
Yeah, I mean, so it's got to be a positive thing, so good news.
I've been quite impressed with the quality of the HD that they broadcast.
It's been stuttering here, but to be honest, the the rubbishness of their standard definition. Oh, broadcast, SD on, surely.
SD on Sky is an absolute disgrace.
Well, standard definition ITV in particular is...
really bad.
It's, you might as well rub Vaseline over your screen. It'll be better.
Are you just going back to the porn story now?
Yeah. Okay. God, move on, Chris. Move on. So iPhone gaming, you wanted to have a quick chat about as well.
Yes. It caught my eye. So GDC, Gamers Developer Conference, last week. And usually they split into like each stream, so they'll have a mobile stream and a console stream and et cetera, and there's a whole load of panels within that one stream. What was interesting was the mobile gaming stream last week had no mention of the iPhone, because they'd actually set up a separate iPhone stream. There was that much interest from the industry, which had 16 separate panel discussions just all on the iPhone. And I just can't believe how, as a platform, just how much it's evolved.
There's been some brilliant games out there.
There has been some brilliant games. And I think what still gets me is the sales. So Doodle Jump. I think we've all got Doodle Jump. And if not, we probably know somebody that has. But it's been out for a few months and it hit 1 million sales in December. Now, already, it's now hit 3 million sales. And it's just it's cha-ching. You know, 59p games selling 3 million is phenomenal.
I wonder how common that is, though. I know that Doodle Jump's been a success for a very simple game.
I know.
I wonder how common it actually is. But obviously people want to tie into that.
Definitely.
And they want to get part of that, you know, the money that's there. And I've seen some great games on the iPhone, but I've also seen how the iPhone, and phone probably in general, it's not a platform. There's got to be a specific type of game. And if it can conform to the input methods.
So, for example, Street Fighter looks amazing, and I bet you controls like a sucky dog.
Absolutely. And
won't buy it.
As we talked about last week, Plants vs. Zombies, it's just perfect.
Oh, it works so well.
Yeah.
And it's like Cannibal works so well for me because you just touch.
So I think people have to get their heads around the fact that it's only really for certain type of games. I think people are much more fickle with their games. I've definitely got quite a number downloaded that I played once and thought, oh, that's quite good and I might play again, but I just never got around to it.
No, and I was the same. I think it's just the controls. Certain ones work really well and other ones don't.
But I think it's a quicker turnover in mobile terms.
I don't think there's anything long term about some of these games. I mean, Doodle Jump, I'll only maybe play once every couple of months now. I'll fire it up and have a quick game and that's it. I know it's a 5 minute instant fix.
Yep.
But yeah, Street Fighter came out and it, as I said, it looks amazing. The reviews all said it is really getting the most out of the platform. But I just think, you know, I struggle enough with a blooming arcade stick to do Shuriken and all that nonsense, never mind a virtual roll of my thumb.
None of it's ever worked for me on the iPhone as far as getting my head around this virtual stick. There's definitely a place. There's so much. I know that people keep doing free versions. I wonder whether they'll do free versions of things like Street Fighter to try and get you in. I think that model works better. But people probably wouldn't earn as much money then, would they?
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the name, I think the Street Fighter brand is such a big brand.
Yeah, they definitely won't bother, especially if it's only a fiver. I guess it's throwaway.
Well, exactly.
Not completely throwaway.
But Street Fighter came out last week and Tekken's already been announced as well. So some big, big names coming to the platform.
And Steam coming to the Mac.
Way! Woo!
Steam, which I think is a fantastic service. So it's a service. Everyone was skeptical about it to start with, but you can pretty much just download any game you want, purchase it online, and away you go, and play it on any machine that you own. So you can.
Well, it seemed to be back to this fear about not being in control and not having your own media. People seem to think to try and tie it to. It was another form of, you know, some sort of digital lock, but it never has been like that, has it?
No, it's given you more freedom than, you know, your standard purchase and try and get through the DRM on your DVDs and things.
So I guess a couple of stats around this. First of all, 2 weeks ago, some brilliant teaser adverts came out from Valve, And it was all a kind of spin on the kind of common Apple adverts that have been around, but placing Valve characters in them. And it was really well done, and everybody thought, well, this is definitely going to be Steam, and sure enough it is. If you look at some of the stats behind it, it's now more than 1,000 games and 25 million user accounts. And they reckon Steam itself is now responsible for 70% of digital game purchases.
That's amazing. I mean, I can't believe it's that much. But
no, yeah. Neither could I. Because I just thought it was maybe, 50 to 100 games. So I was quite surprised at the kind of the depth that's now there.
There are some pretty throwaway games on it.
There always will be. Yeah. By coming to the Mac, there's a couple of things, I guess, that concern people. They thought it was all going to be an emulation. But Valve have confirmed that their games are all going to be, and they're going to treat the Mac as a priority platform, and they're going to be developed on the Mac as well. So they won't be through emulation.
This is good news for Mac.
It definitely is. Something else that's really nice, I can sit on my iMac at home and play a level of Half-Life 2. And then on my PC on the way into work, I could continue from where I left off on the Mac. So some really, and I guess what that means to me is that the game save's been held in the cloud somewhere and being accessed.
Yeah, it must be, yeah. Which is new, because it's never done that before. I certainly haven't come across it.
Oh,
has it
not?
That.
Oh, okay. So that's...
I don't remember my game saves from PCs, but I mean, if I installed it on a new PC, I don't think it takes all my profile info across.
Right. So as I've already said, Mac is now classed as a tier 1 platform. All future Valve games are going to be released simultaneously on Windows, Mac and the Xbox 360. They've still not got much love for the PS3.
No.
So
I think that didn't they have arguments in the past? I think
there's been arguments in the past, and I think
they pretty much come out and say it's just not worth us developing for it because it's too complicated, costs too much money.
Yes.
And is a pain because it's holding us back on the other platforms.
Yes.
Which is a shame. You'd have thought they'd have got around that by now, but they obviously just gave up on it.
What, 3 years, 3.5 year old, the PS3, if not more.
But it did sound earlier in the last year that they just given up on it, really.
Yes.
Couldn't be bothered. I think it's another thing for Mac that, that people like me always say, well, I've got a lot of games that I play on the PC, but this seems to be pushing that further and further away. I know you would always argue that, yes, you can either go emulation or there are games for Mac.
Well, emulation never really, I would never really go down that route. If I was really wanting to play it, I would jailboot. So I'd jailboot into a Windows. Because I know if I'm wanting to game on a PC or a home, PC, then it's going to be a Windows-based one rather than a Mac one. But I'm really looking forward to Portal 2.
Yeah. Oh, so am I. I can't believe it's taken this long.
Exactly.
The first
and I loved
that was
Portal.
Absolute brilliant.
I was talking to Shakil about it, and he was very dismissive about Portal. And it's like, if you played it, and he was like, it just looks crap. And it's like, yeah, but it's just how much thought, and it's clever, and it made me laugh. And
probably my favourite game for over the last, I don't know, when did it come out? 3 years ago? Something like
that? Oh, I thought it was longer than
that. Okay, so it's a long, long time ago, but still sticks out. It's still something I'm happily play through again.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
I
really
still fire
it
up. It's brilliant. Can't believe it's taken this long. So, something else I can't believe, but still seems to be happening. We've talked about it before. Is OnLive, and this is the online streaming or distribution of games via video streaming, effectively.
Yes.
Where you have a box under your TV and you connect a controller up to it and the actual game is being played in a data center somewhere.
Yes, or you can just have a browser.
Yeah, or you can do it through a PC, yes.
Yep.
So we talked about this when it was first announced a little while back now, probably six,
well, I think
it was
about
ago.
A year ago.
So a year ago.
The first, because I'm sure it was round about, just before E3, I'm sure they did, and it might even have been GDC last year. They kind of launched it. In the E3, they did very little, which I was surprised about. And they talked about it was going to go into beta and it would launch by the end of the year.
And everyone dismissed it. Everyone said, this is never going to work. You cannot overcome the technical restraints of streaming high-quality video data through
I do remember
over the internet.
A very good Eurogamer post that just looked at here's the bandwidth you'd need just to send this video, never mind the actual fact that it's gaming video and how it deals with lag.
They pretty much pointed out that technology as it stands now, it's impossible to do what they were claiming.
Yes.
But having said that, they've moved down the line. They did some beta testing, which we've talked about before, with people living very close to data centers and under specific conditions. But we haven't really heard about the outcome of that. I have not seen any reports about how good that was.
No, there was a blog post from, because they banned any of the beta testers from talking about it. There was a blog post from somebody who wasn't a beta tester but who got That's access right. to a beta account, who was pretty dismissive of what he was seeing. You know, comparing the graphics on live to actual local graphics, comparing lag, etc. And he was saying things like, he was playing a racing game and it felt like when you watch the Project Natal videos, and it's almost like you're steering a half second before it actually moves. You're having to not second guess, but just be early. He felt that's what it was like when he was playing Burnout.
So, and that's what everyone was, you know, thinking exactly. about beforehand. He wasn't within the range that they, as in the mileage range.
He was outside the range.
Which, and maybe they had other things in consideration, like maybe they're working with ISP partners to, you know,
yep.
make sure the staging and the router hops and things were lag-free, or as lag-free as you can get it. But still, no one believes it's possible, yet they are launching.
They're launching $15 a month, and that's to access a service. Users will need to purchase games and rentals on top of that. You can purchase multiple months to get a discount. It's going to be initially Mac and PC only, and the TV adapter you talked about is later this year. Mm-hmm. And international announcements are later this year too.
And it's June 17th, they're saying, isn't it?
It's June 17th. And I am still,
and is this
so
America only? I assume
America
it is.
Only, yeah. I'm so still so sceptical about the whole thing.
The fact that we haven't heard anything from positive or negative, it just worries me.
There were so many of the big game companies were involved with this. And I don't know if it's just because it is a potential other revenue stream, so that, you know, they can develop a game and it might start to pull in some dollars over time, and you know, it's like let's support it, let's see what we can do.
I'd be surprised if I don't know how the licensing is going to work on this. I'd be surprised if there weren't big issues with game makers if they're not tied into the revenue streams, as you say.
I mean, even I'm thinking back to the actual demo that they showed a year ago, and it was things like, I can remember seeing like it was almost like a flat surface full of little what looked like screens, and he said each of these screens is live games right now, and you can just pick one and go in and start watching it just because it's video and stuff like that. I just looked at, you know, if I go back to things that we always talked about, like why can't we go and watch an 8-player Wipeout race or an 8-player Street Fighter tournament and just sit and watch it? You know, it's the thing that you've always, you know, it's, if you look at the way Xbox Live works, if you could just go and watch, imagine there was some sort of Halo tournament, you could go and watch that last night of all the best Halo players. And they're kind of, this is what they're talking about being able to do, but I just think the lag is going to prevent it.
I think it's one of those things where they must have got it better than we imagined they could have done. It takes, you know, some innovative people to overcome these problems, and yeah, even if we think that they're impossible to overcome, and they probably are to do completely, if they can get anywhere near close, there will be a set of games that will be possible to run over this thing.
Oh, definitely.
You know, definitely. Racing game is a pretty extreme example.
Yeah. But I wonder if games like, you know, all the kind of, you know, I don't know, some of the kind of party type games, but then they all need local input,
yes.
or rely on local input. So I don't know. I mean, the games are all demoing. They've demoed the kind of racing Burnout type games. They've done the first person shooter. I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, games like Mario, you know, where it's just a kind of platformer. But even then, it's
pretty,
you know, it's everything's so dependent on having a great control system. Just all starts to fall down if you think that, you know, my movements are now being, you know, a half second to a second late. Just that feeling's horrible when you get a bit of lag online. It kills that, you know, if we've been playing Halo for a night, you know what it's like when all of a sudden you hit a laggy game. It's like, oh.
Yep. Well, we're going to find out June 17th anyway. We'll certainly get some reports back then, because they can't ban general public from reporting on their findings, can they?
No, especially if I'm paying money for it.
Exactly. Okay, so talking about inputs and movements, PlayStation have announced that their motion controller is going to be targeted under PlayStation Move.
Yes.
We don't know any more details, really, do we, other than they've given it a name.
they've given it a name. There's 20 titles by the end of the year. They're going to be doing bundle packs. And I guess quite interesting was that you get the PlayStation Move plus the PlayStation Eye plus a game for under $100. Doesn't sound too bad.
It sounds like they're trying to throw in the PlayStation Eye to get rid of their surplus stock.
Well, they've been. I think they were showing PlayStation Eye with Gran Turismo, and it's going
does
to.
Does it
have,
need the? I guess it needs the eye. Does it to see the ball?
Yeah, but they were showing you a demo for Gran Turismo, which was the eye will detect your head turning, and it will turn the screen kind of thing. Seems all that nonsense.
So that's a very Natal type concept.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing where it might win.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, looking back at the video that they obviously did at E3 way back when. It was a good video, wasn't it? As in,
oh, absolutely.
There was compelling stuff in there.
Yeah, but it still feels just almost like a slightly better Wii, in that there's a sub controller, which is you know, you've got your Move and you've got a sub controller which gives you an analog stick, but you've not to call it the nunchuck. You know, yes. But it is I think I'm just getting old.
Yes, maybe a bit old, but like we said, that this long gap between major console releases will see innovation. And okay, it might feel a bit, you know, painful to start with, but you never know where this is going to go. It could be quite an interesting direction.
Indeed.
That's it.
That
other
is
than
it.
Our picks. Like what when picks? I say our picks, I mean your pick.
My one pick.
Yeah, sorry about it.
It's an iPhone app again, so Shakir was sitting there going, cheap.
Yeah, we can all do that for him, can't we?
Cheap. Yeah, cheap. And it's tied up with my little Mac Mini. It's one of the issues that I've always got is that I've got loads of video content, but it's not always necessarily in the right format for iPhone, and also carrying around an iPhone is bigger, but it's not that big. So Air Video allows you to stream from, and I'm just checking because I know I can stream from a Mac, and I'm hoping, yeah, it works for PCs as well, all inclusive. Basically, you put a bit of server software on your Mac or PC, you buy Air Video from the iTunes store, and I can't remember how much it is. I think it was $1.99, $2.99. Can't remember. It wasn't a tremendous amount. And I could stream videos. So once you set it up, you then pick your folder which stores the content. So I picked my TV folder, I picked my movies folder, and then I could go in and I could pick Blackadder and it would start streaming. So that all worked really well, and that's working over Wi-Fi. It also works over, you know, if you set your broadband up at home properly, I can access it over 3G.
Have you tried it?
Yes.
Works?
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
It did.
Okay.
It did. You know, so it was longer buffering. But, you know, once it started buffering, it seemed to work fine.
Well, I used my Sling Player over 3G for the first time of the day, and probably like the same kind of things. Yeah, it takes longer to come up and maybe a bit more pixelated to start with before it kind of kicks in.
Yeah. But I was quite impressed. One other trick up its sleeve is that there's also formats that won't play on the iPhone. But it will do live converting. So, for example, if you had like an MKV, it will take the MKV and turn it into an iPhone format. And
so,
stream it.
Well, is the iPhone not just picking up the stream rather than actually picking
it is,
up convert?
But, so it's... but for the ones that you know won't play, so if it's like an MP4, it will just send over the MP4.
Right. Okay.
But this live conversion seemingly is actually converting it to the MP4 format and sending it.
Okay, I mean, it sounds like it's got a fantastic place in your home system.
Right, for me, it's very handy. The only thing I will say about the conversion is that it's pixelated.
Mm.
You know, and that's even pixelated over your old Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so in the best situations, it's got a bit of a...
Yeah, so I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, that was great. But see from a point of view of being anywhere, you know, or even just, you know, in bed at night, and like wanting to watch something and can't be bothered, you know, I just want to relax. It's ideal. Catch up in a couple of episodes.
It's funny. I think I watched something on my iPhone the other day, and Have you? You've got one of those little bean bags, haven't you?
I have.
See, now I chastised you and
you did
you about that for paying that much money for a little triangular bean bag.
But
actually,
you want one now, don't you?
I want one. Yeah, because holding it. It's a pain to hold it. Yeah.
It is a pain to hold it. Hence my worry. That's my worry about something like an iPad.
Yes. Well, how are you going to hold that?
Maybe we should go and
need a big bean bag.
Exactly.
Full-size
Maybe
bean
we
bag.
Should make big movie wedges. The only problem being if you carry them around, it'll be like carrying a bag of sugar. Which kind of gets away from the portability of it all if you're having to carry around a big bag of sugar just to get displayed.
You know that if we don't do it, though, someone is going to.
Somebody will have done it already.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know if I mentioned Movie Wedge. They are called Movie Wedge, by the way.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd mentioned Movie Wedge, but I know Paul sent me a thing saying he'd seen it in my Flickr. And or maybe he heard me mentioning it, and he bought one, and he thought it was great.
I don't think he bought one. I think he got his wife to make one, because it was a lot. As in, he probably made it for about 2p, whereas you paid $10.
No, no. I seem to. I think he bought one.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
He's not as tight as you. And there was no denial either. I'm just on. It's moviewedge.com. So that's my second pick. Two picks.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that
Chris.
One as mine, shall I? Even though I haven't got one.
Yeah,
and that's us for today. Nice short one for you. Well, so it's all relative, eh?
You're just doing your own jokes now, aren't
yeah,
you?
And I'm cool on my own. Yes. So if you want to find more about our podcast, you can go to digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com. We are on Twitter, @digitaloutbox, and also Skype, where you can leave messages for us, and that is Skype as digitaloutbox. So Ian, where can we find more about you?
Iand.net is my blog, and Shweepa on Twitter.
So you can, I am on, my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk, and I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. And thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.